everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on what I like to call Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way, or at least challenging the way, that we listen to and perceive the world. This is January 28th, 2025. And my first announcement today is a big one, and it's a good one. I want to talk just a little bit about a new class on 1-2 Academy. Now, I'm not teaching it. It's being taught by Kat Nicholson, and she's calling it Awaken the Divine Within You, An Extraordinary Journey Beyond the Tarot. This is going to be a weekly class that will start next Tuesday. That is February 4th. It's going to be at 6 in the evening for about an hour and 10 minutes. And by the way, that's Pacific time, 6. But you know, if you've ever taken classes on 1-2 Academy, and even if you haven't, what's really great is for the most part, if you miss a class, they're always recorded. So let's say that you dive into this class and you say, I really love this weekly discussion group, and I love doing the homework and learning about the tarot and really opening up my own psychic abilities and intuition, but you can't make every class. Well, now Kat will have to confirm this. I'm not sure exactly what her process is, but I get the impression that this is a class that is going, well, I know it's going to meet every week. And if you can't make a class, you can always get a recording of what happened in that class. But this is very self-directed as well. You know, it's sort of like you're going to get out of it what you put into it. But one of the reasons I really wanted to push this class, well, two reasons really, because Kat is brilliant. Now, I know that some of you sit there and you say, oh, well, of course she's going to say that, they're coworkers. I have worked with Kat for years, and I've specifically worked with her on a book about the tarot. And trust me when I say this woman really is brilliant. I mean, she truly is. It's not just knowing what all the cards mean. It's just this vast, you know, collection of experiences that she brings to it. So it really is an incredible, you know, I think tarot is an incredible tool. And I did want to share a little personal stuff about the tarot, and I'll do that in a second, which is the other reason I just would love for people to take this class. But I also, as an astrologer, I was looking at the timing of it. And you know what? I think it's so perfect because Jupiter is the planet that is about expansion in our lives. And right now it's sitting in Gemini, which is the sign of learning. It's a sign of collecting new information, cataloging stuff, figuring it out. And by the way, of course, Kat is a Gemini. And Jupiter has been retrograde since last October. Well, guess what? Next Tuesday, the day that the class starts, Jupiter turns direct. Now, if that's not an omen or a sign, I'm not sure what is. Now, here's another one, though. Next Tuesday, and actually it's going to happen a few minutes before midnight on Monday, Venus, the planet that has to do with desire and attraction, is going to move into Aries. Now, I think that's another good sign. And the reason I do is because Venus is about attracting to ourselves our good, attracting those things that we think will make our life more valuable, or attracting valuable things into our lives. And Aries is very independent. It says, I want to do something for me. And so it's a great time to do something for yourself. So here again, I don't know if Kat actually, you know, consulted the stars or if it was just her brilliant intuition. But I think that is an incredible date to start a new class on 1-2 Academy. And there again, if you have questions or you want to know how it's going to work, please go to 1-2academy.com and check out the write-up. It's extensive. There's a lot of information there. But also, it's, you know, just you can contact her through Click for Advisor and just say, hey, how does this work or what's going on with that? So if you have a question, make sure that you just check that out. And of course, this is a class for beginners as well as people with experience. So, you know, it's just, I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. It's a very Aquarian thing to do as well, not only because it's tarot and it's a psychic tool, but also just because, you know, this is the time to be networking with people. Maybe this is the time to make some new friends, you know, some soul groups. So if you're even on the edge or this piques your interest, I would really encourage you to do it. And here again, I wanted to share a few experiences that I've had with the tarot to pique your interest. Now, one of those is, and you guys know I'm just kind of stubborn. You know, I don't tend to get in with trends. It takes me a while to really, I have to really check things out and really look at them really closely before I'll figure out whether or not I'm going to do something. And see, I have a moon in Aquarius. I also have my north node in Aquarius. And I was exposed to, you know, the tarot when I was doing astrology, because a lot of people that are into astrology are also into tarot, or it's the same group, or, you know, we're rubbing shoulders. Well, every time I saw a tarot deck, I go, not for me. I just don't like the idea of it. A lot of times I didn't like the pictures, and it just didn't seem like a tool for me. Well, then one day I walked into a bookstore and I just saw this beautiful, incredible, eclectic picture. It was, you know, it was a card deck. And it turns out it was the Voyager Tarot by James Wanless. But I like made a beeline for that picture. I was like, oh my God, what is this? I have to have this. And then I started flipping through it and I go, oh, well, these are tarot cards. And, you know, but I was so attracted to those particular cards, to those images, to those pictures. I went ahead and bought it. And I come home and I really know nothing about it. So I get out the little guidebook and I'm reading through it. And it says, you know, pick a card a day or, you know, ask about the past or ask, what do you need to know about this situation? So I start, you know, doing cards and I'm like, crickets, you know, I am getting nothing. And I'm going, okay, well, these are beautiful cards. I may display them, but, you know, I'm obviously not a tarot person. And I did that for 9 days. And literally, I was like, okay, this just isn't for me. But on the 9th day, and I don't remember the card that I chose or what the question was, on the 9th day, between the guidebook and the pictures on the card, all of a sudden, I went, oh, my God. And it was as if the voice either started speaking to me or I opened up my inner ear and was able to hear what the message was. And it was just like a startling and wonderful aha moment. And so I tell people that because, you know, I mean, for some of us, it's never going to be the tool for you. But it has turned out for me to just be an incredible tool. And a couple of other things I'll tell you. You know, when I was first doing it, you know, I would ask a question. And a lot of times it was, what do I need to know about this person? What do I need to know about this experience? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's 78 cards, as you know, in the tarot, and it's very comprehensive. So it pretty much covers anything in life or every kind of situation or quality or characteristic that we could come into contact with. So I would ask, you know, what I wanted to ask, and I would get a card and I go, oh, no, 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 you didn't understand my question. This can't possibly be the card. So I would shuffle the cards again and pull out a card, and what do you think would happen? I would get the same card. Now, that has happened enough, let's say 3 or 4 times in the last 30 years, that I know better. I mean, it's sort of like, if you don't want the answer, don't ask the question. And it's just so incredible to me that you would pull out exactly the same card. Or sometimes I get really tricky and I'll even use a different deck. I'll say, okay, well, I'll take that answer, but I'm going to look at a different deck and I'm going to get a different flavor. Guess what? The same card comes out. So I'm just saying that, you know, this is about not that the tarot itself has a personality, but it feels to me like it does. But this is ourselves. You know, this is our projection. And are you willing to listen to your voice? And this is a tool that I think can really help us connect with an inner voice, with an inner guide and teacher, if we're willing to do it. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention, too, is last week, I do a card spread for every single week, you know, and I do it as I'm writing my article for Mark's Power Peak. So it lets me know, hey, what's going on this next week? What do we need to focus on? You know, what is this day going to be about, etc. So usually I use, I don't know, up to, you know, 10 to 15 different decks, depending on what's going on that week and how many cards I want to pull. But the first thing I do is I pull one card and I say, okay, what's the overall energy for this week? What do I need to know? What do I need to focus on? And that is going to at least be a theme that is going to run through the Power Peak article. Well, this week I drew the star. And I just laughed when I saw it because we have all this Aquarius energy this week. And that is the card for Aquarius. And I'm like, well, of course, that's the card for the week. Now, there could have been any other theme come out, but that was just one of them to just go, okay, now you know what this week is about. It's about the star. Think about it. Remember the images and the meanings of that particular card. So, and then a couple of weeks ago, it was funny too, because like I said, I'll use up to, you know, 10 to 15 different decks. And sometimes I'll just use 7, but it's rare. I usually use, you know, multiples. And so it was like, okay, what's the card for the week? What's the card for this day? What's the card for whatever? Well, in all those decks, and I probably used that week, maybe 10, the Fool came out 3 times. From 3 different decks, the Fool came out. Well, you know what? Any statistician will tell you, yeah, it's possible, but that was not very likely. So once again, though, you know, we don't have to have those experiences to convince us that this is a useful tool. But for me, it truly is. And it's a fun, fun tool. That's the thing. It truly is a fun tool, even when I don't get the information that I want, or I'm disappointed, or I feel like, really, is that how this is going to work out? But you know, it's also one of those situations, it's the moment that you ask. You know, I don't tend to say, what's going to happen next year? I ask, what's happening now? What do I need to know now? And maybe I'll say, okay, give it to me for a month, maybe even 6 months, or what is a card for the year? But you know, to me, Tarot is very in the moment. And so I would really encourage you, if you're interested at all, to just, you know, check it out and see, is this something that would work in your life? Is this something that you're interested in? And I would also encourage you, even if you know the Tarot, all the time I'm learning something new. Like, I do continue to buy new decks. And one of the reasons is because I love being stimulated by the various artwork and the different images. But it's also because different writers and different people putting these decks together, they may just have an idea about a card that I've never heard before. And to me, that's always interesting. Now, sometimes I buy a deck and I go, not for me. And I give it, you know, I send it on its way, you know, either donate it to a metaphysical bookstore or, you know, someplace, or give it to somebody who might be interested. So that happens too. But it's very interesting. I think it's a playful, wonderful tool that can just be, in a sense, your best friend. So that is my little talk today about the Tarot, and also just an encouragement that if you're interested at all, check out that class, because I think that's going to be a dynamite group. And especially with the timing, you know, that could end up being a group of people who stick together for a long time, maybe for a short time for a particular purpose, but I think it's going to change their lives. So there you go. All right. So when we look at the cosmic dance, because that's usually what we're doing. Oh, and by the way, come on over and meet me, you know, on Facebook if you'd like to come into our chat room. I'm going to go over there right now. I was already in there before, and let's see if I can manipulate this. But in any case, come on over and meet me there if you'd like to. Okay, now I lost it, so maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But I will go back and check it in a little bit. Oh, yes, okay, I got it. Okay, Leslie, hey, thanks for being here. And I know there's other people, too. Let me see if I can get all these comments. Hey, hi, Suzanne and Renee. Thank you always for being here. And there's Kat. So, Kat, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And for everybody else who's coming into the room, thank you. It's always good to see you. So I'm going to leave that for a minute, but you can go over into the chat room and, you know, make a comment or so. And as I tell people, I usually check it during the show, but this isn't usually a show where we're actually, answering people's personal questions. However, you know, if you've got something and you go, well, how does this work, or this is going on, you know, I do check those after the fact, you know, after the show. So you may actually get an answer after the show, even if you don't get it during the show. So if there's something going on and you want to ask, especially if it has something to do with what we're talking about on the show, then please come on over and post it there. And there again, network with us. Be part of this Aquarian age. All right, so the cosmic dance for the week of January 27th. Well, you know me, lines come to me, pictures come to me. I mean, that's kind of how I live my life. So when I opened up and I looked at what's going on this week, I'll tell you what I heard. It was a line from the Brady Bunch. and it was Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And I don't know if you remember that. Truthfully, I didn't watch a Brady Bunch very much, but I'm very familiar with the line because I think it's kind of stuck through time. And it just has to do with, I think it was Jan or one of the sisters. She's like, it's always about Marsha. You know, when's it going to be about me? Well, the reason that comes into my mind is because it's really, really hard not to talk about Aquarius and its ruling planet Uranus this week. And I know we've been talking about it. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks. Last week, we talked about it almost exclusively. So if the cosmos is going, Marsha, 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 why are we talking about Aquarius again? It's because this week is dominated by this kind of energy. Yesterday, which was Monday, the 27th of January, Mercury left Capricorn and moved into Aquarius. Today, the 28th, Mercury meets Pluto in Aquarius, which is also a really important energy. That's going to happen late tonight, literally just a few minutes before midnight, I think. Then tomorrow, on Wednesday, the new moon is at 10 Aquarius. And by the way, you know, sometimes you'll hear it's 9, it's 10, whatever. That is one of those things where the moon is at, it's actually going to happen at 9, you know, at so close. It's 9, but it's 52 minutes or something like that. So most of us just go ahead and bump it up and say that it's 10 rather than 9. So don't quibble about those little things. And I mention that because in Aquarius energy, we tend to quibble. So it's at 9, 10 Aquarius, whatever you want to call it. But that's where the new moon is going to be. And so, once again, we've got Mercury moving into Aquarius. We've got Mercury meeting up with Pluto. Then we've got the new moon. And then on Thursday, we also have Uranus, the planet that is considered to be the ruler of the sign of Aquarius. Guess what? It's been retrograde since September 1st. On Thursday, it's going to go direct. So when you think about that new moon and the energy of the new moon, and we'll talk about it a little bit in a few minutes, you know, think about what it's imbued with. It's imbued with the idea that Mercury and Pluto are sitting there, not at 10 degrees, but close. They're sitting at 1 degree of Aquarius and just generating this incredible kind of cathartic, healing energy. And then you've got the sun and the moon actually coming together in their particular blend of energy. And then you have Uranus, the ruler, looking over and saying, you know, it's sitting still. And whenever a planet is sitting still, and when we say that, it just means it's that optical illusion. But it's ready to finish that retrograde on Thursday. So it looks to us like it's motionless. Well, you can imagine, you know, I'll tell you the image that comes, well, you know, of somebody staring at you. You know, this is big energy. They're getting your attention by sitting still. So this is Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. I mean, it's almost just kind of, it's either screaming or it's permeating this particular week. Now, I personally think, I mean, this month is very Aquarian because of the new moon and also the sun being in Aquarius and now Mercury being in Aquarius. But we're kind of in this Aquarian theme, and we are, it's going to be a while, I think, before we feel like we've really acclimated to it. And why? And it's because of that Pluto being there for, you know, almost 2 decades, right? So yeah, if you start feeling like Marsha, 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 well, then there's part of me that just says, learn about Aquarius. This is interesting energy. And it's not going away anytime soon. Although I will say, in a month, we really will be moving on and we'll be talking about some other things. So, you know, if you're tempted to just kind of tune out, I would encourage you to, you know, still keep your ear in there. And, but we will move on eventually. But this week, it's a very Aquarian week. So as a refresher, now I'm just going to go over a couple things quickly so we can move on. But every single sign is related or assigned to an element. And this particular one is air. You know, and air, like Gemini and Libra, Aquarius, it's mental, it's cognitive, it's intellectual, it's objective, interested in ideas. So this is all about communication and thinking. Now, Aquarius itself is also what we call a fixed sign, because every sign is associated to a mode or a modality. So it's not exactly like those other air signs. It has something in common with Taurus and Leo and Scorpio in that it's fixed, which means it's concentrating the energy. It stabilizes. It anchors energy. There's follow-through, persistence, and loyalty. And so when we talk about Aquarius being really stubborn or really outspoken or just really like you're not moving them off of an opinion, you're not moving them off of some point, that's why. Because Aquarius's job is to anchor that energy, to make sure that it's there. It's not to do it today and it's gone tomorrow. That's not the Aquarian way. So this does become ingrained thoughts, opinions, habits, etc. So it is ruled by Uranus. However, traditionally, this sign was ruled by Saturn. And Saturn is known for discipline, organization, and structure. And I think we see a lot of that in Aquarius. You know, that is part of it. I'm going to organize it this way. I'm going to structure it this way. And I'm going to have the discipline. I'm going to stick with it. So wherever you've got Aquarius in your chart, and especially if you have planets in Aquarius, or maybe you have a lot of planets in the 11th house of your chart. The 11th house is naturally Aquarius. Well, that's where we have that energy of the visionary, the genius, the rebel, the revolutionary, the humanitarian. So that's what's going on there. Now, I do hope we have time today to talk a little bit about the Tarot Star, because that is the card that most, you know, that we were talking about is associated with Aquarius. And we may not. And if we don't, we'll do that next week. But I want you once again, Aquarius is related to the star in the Tarot, or at least that's a crosswalk. You know, that's how you can kind of put those together. In the mythology, this is Prometheus. It's the god who stole fire from the gods because he was a teacher and he wanted to give it to mankind. He was teaching mathematics and physics and all kinds of sciences, and he needed the concept of fire. So he stole it from the gods. So there again, if you want to look into the mythology, look into Prometheus. So now let's specifically talk about how does Mercury, the planet of thinking, kind of manifest in Aquarius. Now, some of this is going to sound very familiar, but here again, the idea of Aquarius is it's similar ideas, but it can manifest in different ways. Like when it's the sun, it has more to do with how we think of ourselves and our personality. When it's Mercury, Mercury is the way we think and the way that we, you know, we communicate with others. So like for instance, an example might be Martin Luther King Jr. He had his Mercury in Aquarius, but I believe, and I'm trying to remember, he was either a Capricorn or a Pisces. So, you know, if you looked at him as a person, you might have said, oh, well, that's not very Aquarian. There was this other energy there. But his Mercury, the way he spoke, the way he talked, the way he thought was Mercury in Aquarius. So this is the energy. It's usually lightning fast, brilliant flashes of genius. And sometimes what we see with this is the ability to connect things together that other people just can't do. It's like, how did you leap from this to this to this to this? A lot of times that's Mercury in Aquarius. This is a sign that looks ahead, not back. Always looking ahead. Now, I also want to mention, though, I think this is a double-edged sword, because if we can't learn from history and from our own mistakes and other people's mistakes, we don't get ahead very quickly. And I think there's a lot of evidence to show the human race isn't particularly good at learning from our mistakes. Personal opinion, but we're going to let that go. This is a sign that looks ahead, always looking ahead. It's a sign Mercury in Aquarius loves to talk about concepts and ideas. They love to debate. And there again, you know, maybe you're having a conversation with somebody and you think, how did this turn into a debate? Or maybe you're thinking, how did this turn into a fight? Well, maybe it's not a fight. Maybe it's just because under this kind of influence, we love to talk. You know, we love the controversial, revolutionary ideas. We love to be outspoken and we're idealistic. So maybe we can reframe that. Maybe it's not really a fight. Maybe it's just people are really wanting to talk about things. They're just really wanting to get it out. They want to explore it. And, you know, during this time, we not only collect ideas and opinions, we collect friends and associates and colleagues and brothers and sisters, because this is very much a sign of networking. You know, having all those social connections and you know, just finding out what other people know. This is often a sign when Mercury is in it, these people have the ability to inspire other people, to organize people. That's the gift from Saturn. And often they're strongly political or they're interested in political things because, you know, think about it. It's a social networking thing and they're progressive. So politics kind of just draws them in. People born under this influence, and here again, with the sun, but certainly with also Mercury, they tend to be unusual in their thinking or in their communication style. They tend to be trendsetters. We might think of them as being ahead of their time, inventive and progressive. Benjamin Franklin is a person who always jumps into my mind in terms of this energy because he kind of checks all those boxes. You know, he was an inventor. He was always coming up with these ideas. And yet the other thing is he certainly was in politics. He certainly was that social, you know, networker trying to negotiate things between the United States and France and, you know, the Revolutionary War and all of that. He was very much in that. And so there again, if you look at his life, he's very much that Mercury in Aquarius person. You know, not afraid to be unorthodox, experimental, or even disliked. That's another thing that we see with Aquarius. And it's kind of like there is an emotional detachment to Aquarius. And why? Because it's mental. You know how sometimes, I mean, truly, sometimes people take things so personally. Well, you know, my moon is in Aquarius, and I'll tell you one of the things that I've learned about myself, and I don't do it on purpose, but sometimes people will either praise me or they will insult me, and I don't even know it. I mean, truly, somebody else will say, wow, I can't believe you didn't respond to that. And I go, what? And they go, well, what she said to you or what they wrote or what they did. And I'm like, well, that wasn't about me. That was just something they were saying. And they're going, no, that was about you. And I just have to laugh because I'm not saying my feelings never get hurt. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that moon in Aquarius for me, that's one of the things that happens is that I'm just kind of mentally or emotionally detached from it. And I don't necessarily assume that it has anything to do with me. So I'm not one, you know, and there again, I'm not pretending. It's just the way my mind thinks or the way my emotional expression is because of a moon in Aquarius. So, you know, that's it. Like I said, I'm not saying Aquarians or people with Aquarian energy don't care if you dislike them or what goes on, but I'm just saying there is a certain mental attachment. They're just analyzing it rather than taking it personally. So when we look at Mercury in Aquarius, this is the energy of the inventors, like I said, Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Edison, great examples of the inventor style of the mind of Mercury in Aquarius. They're also experimental writers like Betty Friedan and Gertrude Stein and Jules Verne, who wrote a lot of science fiction. They're provocative innovators like Oprah Winfrey and Helen Gurley Brown. She was very controversial in her time, and George Harrison. They're leaders and politicians like George Washington, Franklin Roosevelt, Edward Kennedy. And I think about Kennedy because obviously a long and colorful life, some things you like and some things you probably don't. But the one thing that I think he shows with Mercury in Aquarius, he was persistent. for decades, literally 20, 30, maybe even more decades, about getting legislation for healthcare in the United States. I mean, he worked almost his whole career doing that. That to me is the persistence of Mercury and Aquarius, thinking that this is an idea, you know, for the people, whatever. And that's one of the ways that I really see that Mercury and Aquarius working in his life. I also mentioned Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player. And the reason I always come back to him and some of his quotes is because of an idea. One of the first quotes I ever saw by him is when he said, "I don't skate to where the puck was. I skate to where the puck is going to be." And I think about that in life and how that differentiates so many of us, especially from people with a lot of Aquarian energy. Because, I mean, you know, if I were playing, or I just think a lot of it, you go to where the ball is, right? That's what you want to do. But he says, "I skate to where the puck is going to be." Now, I don't know how he knows that, but the point is, his records still stand. I mean, every single year they tout how somebody's going to break one of his records, because he's just had these records standing for several decades now. And someday they will be broken. I mean, that will happen. But the point is, he was an incredible hockey player, but he was always thinking ahead. And that is Mercury in Aquarius. It's also the minds of some of the people that are eccentric or quirky, like John Belushi or Bill Maher. So those are just a few examples of the energy of Mercury in Aquarius. Now, I think we have enough time to go into the Tarot Star. Now, I know this sounds almost like a little bit of a, like, why are we going here, and, you know, whatever. But I just thought that this was so important, especially, like I said, it was the card of the week. So I felt like actually talking about it as a concept, as an idea, might be helpful. And I think about this too, because most people, no matter where you are, no matter what your political party is or what's going on for you, most people just seem to have this sense of, you know, coming out of a trauma, coming out of that things are chaotic, that things are upset, you don't know what's going on. There just seems to be a general, especially, and I'm not going to blame it on 2024, but, you know, just coming out of, oh my gosh, when is the chaos going to end? Or, you know, what's happening? Why is the world changing and changing so, you know, quickly, it seems like? Well, that's one of the reasons I want to talk about this, because when we look at this energy, this Aquarius energy, from the perspective of the Tarot and the Star, well, the Star is the card. It's one of the archetypes. There's 22 archetypes. And so those 22 archetypes kind of cover comprehensively almost anything that can happen in life. Think about it like the wheel of life or the tree of life. And it follows, the Star comes right after the Tower. And the Tower, for those of you who don't know, the Tower is a card where literally something was built up and then lightning strikes it and it crumbles to the ground. And I will admit, most people don't ever want to see the Tower come up in a reading. However, I'm one of those proponents that thinks, you know, you just don't look at things as being positive or negative necessarily. You look at them as being useful. You look at them for what they mean. And the Tower energy is actually very, very helpful, because it tells us that sometimes we are building on a faulty foundation. It's all cracked and we don't even know it. We're continuing to do something when the idea or the passion or the love is completely gone. Or sometimes it can mean that we've just gotten way too far off base in terms of who we are, what we want, or where we're going. And we don't even recognize that we've literally encased ourselves, in a sense, in a tower of habitual behavior or habitual thought. We don't even know that that's going on. So our life feels boring, or our life feels stuck and stilted, or whatever it is. And so the Tower is struck by lightning and it all comes down. And by the way, when the Tower comes down, even though we often see it as an outside force, like, you know, a hurricane or a tornado or whatever it is, we see it as an outside force. But often this is a psychological process that it was us screaming from the inside, "Let me out." And so oftentimes when we look retrospectively at the Tower, we recognize we were just desperate to start over. We were desperate to get out of where we were, even though we may or may not want to admit it. So along comes the star that says, after the storm, we will find peace and new meaning in our lives. The star is the inner light that's never absent. The star is the energy that comes along and says, let's pick up these pieces. Let's look and see what's useful, what should we keep, what should we reassemble into a new life. So the star is about healing, healing after trauma, healing a wounded world or a wounded community, feeling like the light in the world is fading, but there's a new dawn. See, that's it. There may be a little darkness here, but along comes a star and there's a new dawn. It's a time of renewal and rejuvenation. It's a time for inner calm. And why are we calm? Because the star is about being connected to an inner source, an inner teacher and guide. So we're never exhausted when we're connected to an infinite source of power. It's when we're doing something on our own, doing something we think through our own power, that we get exhausted. So here comes the star and says, you know what? Calm down, settle down a little bit, find your guiding star and your guiding principles. And one word that is big, big, big with Aquarius and with the star is the word hope. Hope. We see the new dawn. We see that things are coming our way. We see the guiding light. So this is about finding our way, finding a light in the darkness and being able to follow it. And, you know, another thing, and here again, these are some of the things you'll probably learn if you take Kat's class, but a lot of times in different decks, and like I said, I have lots of different decks, and some of them are more traditional, and some of them are very, very, you know, avant-garde or new age or whatever, but a lot of times there's 8 pointed stars on the card. So, you know, there might be a number of, you know, stars on the card, but they usually have 8 points. Well, the 8 points traditionally relates to the 8 card in the tarot, which is strength. And so, see, here again, there's this very complex but very interesting, you know, kind of a dynamic that works throughout the tarot. So it's telling us about our strength and how to find our strength. So that's part of it too. But another thing you might think about is that we use the word star often to indicate celebrities, people that we think have something we want. But I would say this is the time to really look at that. Who do we honor? Who do we emulate? Who do we think are the stars in our universe? And I would just say, are they? Are we substituting something on the outside for an energy, for a light that is really inside of us? So that's just kind of a side trip into the star card. But I think it's a wonderful image for all of this Aquarian energy, because I know sometimes, you know, and myself included, I mean, Aquarius can be really obstinate, persistent, and arrogant even. That kind of energy of, hey, listen to me, I know what I'm doing. And sometimes, depending on your own chart, you may just find Aquarius to be kind of a harsh energy, you know, haughty. You know, that intellectual hubris, if you know what that means, you know, just like I'm arrogant, I know something and you don't know it and follow me. But I would remind you that that idea of arrogance is something we do associate with Aquarius and Leo. But you know what? Insecurity, not knowing what we're doing, lacking confidence looks a lot like arrogance, because it's the bluff that we put on to convince ourselves and thus other people that we're in control, that we really know what's going on. So don't be fooled either by that veneer of arrogance that often is actually covering up, you know, almost like the Wizard of Oz, covering up that person who has no idea what's going on, or who is scared, who is saying, yes, I've been through some trauma, and the only thing I know to do is to pull on this cloak of arrogance so that you won't understand my vulnerability. So that's just another way to look at Aquarius from the tarot. So we're going to move on. What I would encourage you to think about with Mercury in Aquarius, and by the way, it's going to be there through Valentine's Day, that's February 14th, is that this is a time to gather with your friends, gather with strangers, listen to provocateurs, open your mind to hear something that's unfamiliar or controversial or even unpopular. Remember, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to act on it. You don't have to do anything about it, but just open your mind. You don't have to, just in that detachment, you don't have to let it stick to you. Now, this is also a time when I want to say, and I know this is, it's going to sound like it's a contradiction, and it is, but seek advice when you need it, but think for yourself. Both of those ideas are really, really strong at this time, because don't give over your power of thought or decision or opinion to anybody else. But one of the things you do is when you recognize you don't have the expertise, this is a good time. Once again, network, listen to other people, seek advice, but don't accept it. Don't act on it if it doesn't resonate with your inner light, with your inner voice. So don't rely on other people to tell you what to think, what to do, or what to value. Treasure your uniqueness and your independence. But here's another contradiction. Don't isolate. This isn't the best time to isolate, even though this is a hermit year. And I do think that we ought to be, really getting into that kind of energy of listening to ourselves. But don't isolate, because this is a good time, especially this month, with Mercury sitting in Aquarius, to discuss and share ideas and collaborate and evaluate stuff. But if you want to be a real genius like Mercury in Aquarius, take your time. Don't act impulsively and figure out, like Benjamin Franklin and other inventors, figure out how to apply these great ideas in the world. Not just talk about them, but what do you do? How do you apply them? Create an experiment. Figure out how to do it. So the next thing I want to touch upon this quickly too is that Mercury is right there in the airspace with Pluto late tonight, just a few minutes before midnight Pacific time. Mercury's going to join Pluto. Now, it does that about once a year. There again, depending on Mercury's retrogrades, it does it about once a year, right? Because it goes around and it'll eventually meet up with Pluto. So it's not rare. It happens. But when I think about this energy, and especially this time, it felt like that whole idea of, having a come to Jesus meeting. Now, I know many of you know what that means, but if you don't, I looked it up in the Urban Dictionary because I thought, what do people say this means? I mean, it originally had a meaning that probably had more to do with, literally inviting people to the missionary tent to, come to Jesus. But in slang, it means an ultimatum. That were, maybe a polite ultimatum that eventually becomes a threat or a final option. That's what the Urban Dictionary says. Gaining clarity into a situation. An intervention of sorts. A last resort before one suffers consequences. So when I think about Mercury and Pluto, especially in a sign like Aquarius, it's like realizing the error of our ways. This is, to me, the definition of an aha moment. It's an epiphany, because all of a sudden something comes to light and it seems so obvious to us. Why didn't I see this before? I think for a lot of people, this could be a major aha moment, in the next few days. But think about it too, very intentionally, we can say this is a time to penetrate really deeply into something. Once again, to start studying something, to acquire new knowledge or understanding, to probe, to observe, to really ferret out the truth, because this energy can be kind of compulsive, with Pluto. I want to know this, and I'm not going to stop before I figure it out. Being relentless in the pursuit of finding information, finding hidden causes, like, for instance, with a diagnosis. That could be what happens too. It's somebody who's been going to a doctor, or they've been, trying to figure out the cause of something or kind of the basis of something, or to find the right medicine or alternative therapy. And it's like, here it is, because I'm not going to let this go until I've really figure it out. So watch for those kinds of things too happening in the next few days or even in the next week or so, and maybe even beyond. It's a time of increased psychic and intuitive ability because there's an intensity in our minds, in our thinking, in our opinions, and in our communications. So it's an interesting energy, and I'd also say because it happens late at night, you might want to think about your dreams. And if you're a person who wakes up and they instantly are gone, put a little tablet or, you know, your phone or something right there so you can take a few notes when you wake up. Because for many of us, it's going to happen late tonight when we're asleep. But here again, these kind of energies, they're already there. Like you might be sitting there right now or something later today. It's like, aha, this is an aha moment about something coming together in my mind. This is interesting. This is something I needed to know. So now we're going to spend a couple minutes just on the new moon in Aquarius. We've already talked about a lot of this energy because it's not only the sun and the moon coming together, you know, creating that new moon. It's that Mercury and Pluto energy sitting there. It's infusing the new moon on Wednesday with that kind of energy of the aha moment. So there again, those aha moments, they can happen at any time, obviously. But maybe that's what this new moon is going to be about. Maybe it's going to be a series of aha moments all month long because it really is infused in the energy. And remember, too, what's also infused in the energy is that the Uranus moving direct, you know, just sitting still in the sky and ending a retrograde. So once again, I do think this month, this cycle of the moon is very likely to be full of revelations, full of psychic impressions and intuition and things coming through to us. Now, another thing that is happening with this new moon is that the moon is in a very positive connection, a trine is what we call it in astrology, with Jupiter in Gemini. Remember, Gemini, we talked about this in the very first, Gemini is ruled by Mercury. It's a sign of new information. It is a sign, too, of networking and talking to people and making friends and greeting and meeting and all of that kind of stuff. Well, the moon is in a very positive connection with Jupiter in Gemini on Wednesday at the new moon. And the sun then makes that perfect trine with Jupiter on Thursday. So, see, we've got that incredible energy sitting there, too. And so even though we may feel like we're just kind of sitting still in a moment of like not sure where everything's going, I think there's some important choices coming to us. And once again, you know, with Jupiter, it's expansion. Now, Jupiter is moving retrograde. It moves direct next week, by the way, guys. So it's almost looking like it's still in the sky, too. Because it's getting ready to go forward again. So new moons are always associated with fresh starts and new beginnings. But this one, I do think it has an unmistakable message. It's about being very purposeful with our thoughts and actions and not just being an extra in our own life story. So, you know, that's how I'm seeing the Jupiter connection. I almost see us sitting on the precipice of something. We know there's a decision to make, or we know there's a new path, and we're ready. We want to make a new choice. Now, we may not do it on the new moon. We may not even do it in the next few days, but that's the energy of that. We're ready to make a choice, a decision. But I would also remind you that here's what's the interplay too. Mars is still moving retrograde until February 23rd. Mars is the planet of action. So I recognize this may not be the perfect time to actually take an action, but I do think it's a perfect time to clean up an idea, to strategize, and to get ready to move, to really look at our doubts and our hesitations and what's going on around us. And, you know, if you think about it, it's like, I mean, I can literally feel myself doing this sometimes. It's like, I'm Scarlett O'Hara. I'm not going to look at that today. I'll look at that tomorrow. You know, it's like we've got the blindfolds on. I can't look at this. I can't think about this today. Well, this new moon is going, okay, think about taking off those blindfolds. You don't actually have to do anything today, but you got to start taking off the blindfolds and looking and seeing what's going on. So this is a very powerful time between Mercury moving into Aquarius and the new moon. to literally talk with other people, to share and exchange ideas. And especially for yourself, you may have some ideas that you haven't been talking to people, and they may not be ready for prime time. That's what I'd say. But, you know, on the other hand, this might be the right time to just start, you know, bouncing ideas off people, family, friends, colleagues, whatever, just to clarify what your own thoughts and feelings are. Now, one thing I'd also say, it's always nice to share that kind of stuff with people who are going to support us. But you know what? If you got the guts, it's okay to share it with people that you know are going to be in opposition. Because the more clearly we can understand what's going on, our purpose and our attachment to an idea or goal, then the better we're going to know whether or not it's something that we really want to do. We're going to be able to hear the benefits as well as the downsides. And then we can really choose to abandon, revise, or strengthen our commitment to a particular course of action. And, you know, we've all been there. All of us have been there. I remember sharing an idea years ago, something I was just so excited about, and it had to do with a major purchase, you know, a real life change. So I took all the, you know, accounting paperwork to somebody, you know, for a consultation, and they go, no, this is not a good investment. This is not a good idea. And I was so disappointed. And of course, you know me, I'm going to pull a tarot card. I'm going to see what it says. But you know what? I knew the person was right. And they steered me clear from something that my heart was in it, but the numbers on the page just didn't add up. And it would have been a major mistake. So, you know, we don't want to hear the opposition. We don't want people to talk us out of something. But sometimes that's exactly what we need to do. So, like I said, if you got the guts, if you got the courage, then open up an idea that you think people is going to be controversial or people may not support and say, give it to me. You know, give me your best thoughts on this. Now, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to talk about the Lunar New Year, or at least just introduce that idea. That's the same day as the new moon. And so for those of you who are interested in that, I think it's wonderful to really get involved in that, to go watch some of the, you know, dragon dances and all of that sort of stuff. This is the year of the wood snake. And I realize we only have a couple minutes, so I probably am going to save some of this for next week, but just recognize that, you know, that's another lens that we can look through. Another way that we can see the year ahead is all of the qualities of wood and the qualities of the snake from the perspective of Chinese astrology, which I would tell you is very, very comprehensive and complex. It's not as simple as looking it up and, hey, here's a funny little snake or, you know, whatever. I think it deserves a lot of respect and a lot of our attention. Well, I'm not going to say a lot of our attention, but it definitely deserves our respect. But I'm going to save a couple of my stories about the Chinese New Year. The new lunar year is what many people all over the world call it, because, you know, I've heard that as much as a quarter of the world's population celebrate the Lunar New Year, what they often call the Spring Festival. And there again, that starts on Wednesday. I think we will save some of that because I don't want to give it like short shrift, so to speak. So we will save some of that. And so I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the show today and say thank you. I'm going to look into the chat room and see if I can quickly. Let's see. Everybody's just saying hello, and I need to do something to shift it up. I'm not going to do that. So everybody, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks for joining me, to the listeners, everybody in the chat room. I will figure out and look at the chat room in a minute. And you can find this in the archives later today if you missed part of it or you just want to listen to it again. The archives are the on-demand section of 12radio.com. I want to thank our producer and encourage you to stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, which is coming up next. And the quote of the week is this one. It's a traditional New Year blessing, and it's, as the serpent moves with silent power, may you discover your own strength in moments of stillness and reflection this year. And as you can tell, life kind of all comes together in synchronicity. A lot of the qualities of the snake are going to remind you of the hermit, and maybe they're going to remind you of the star. So we'll talk a little bit about that next week. I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, you can always find me on 12listen.com. If I'm not available, just put in a request for a callback. If I'm available, I will sign on. And you can also ask for a scheduled call at a time that's going to be good for you. So don't hesitate. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.